Hello, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Tech Exec Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Aviv Ben Yosef, Tech Executive Consultant and Advisor. And before we get down to business, I have very, very exciting news to share with all of you. I've been working on this, and I'm very happy to share that in about 3 months, in April, my new book, my first book, is slated to be published. It's called The Tech Executive Operating System, and it's written specifically for all of you, my dear listeners. I think you're going to find it tremendous and very, very helpful. I wrote it with you all in mind, and in the upcoming weeks, as we get closer and closer to the book launch, you're going to be hearing about it, and I'll have a bunch of stuff, interesting stuff for you all, such as special packages, free webinars, a bunch of videos, and so forth. So stay tuned. 2021 is going to be a heck of a lot better than 2020. Even though, might I say, I managed to write this book right between the Israeli lockdowns because I knew there's no way I'm going to write a single page with three kids running around. So I'm very proud of myself about that. I had a very nice bottle of wine to celebrate the manuscript being completed, and you're all gonna see it. I promise, though, that I did not write a lot of it under the influence of wine. With that out of the way, let's get back to business. And our subject today is the formation of leadership bubbles. I sometimes work with executives and leaders and see, as I learn and get to know their company and their organization, that they have this problem where the leaders are in some sort of a bubble. Just like we get the filter bubble in our Facebook feed where we only see the kinds of opinions we already hold, the same thing seems to be happening in some companies. And I see that arising from a few very, very common patterns. First of all, some companies end up hiring people from the same or very similar background. And I don't blame them. It is often way easier. I always talk to my clients about the concept of hitting a pocket. You find a pocket of talent. Maybe it's a company that's going under. Maybe it's a bunch of your ex-friends from the Israeli army. That's how it works over here. Or whatever. And then our instinct is to use that pocket for everything that's in it and make sure that we extract all the value, all the talent, and bring them on. Because once you've hit a pocket, it's way easier to suck talent out of that than to find new pockets. That, however, ends up usually in creating a team that's too homogenous. You end up having this kind of groupthink happening because you don't have anyone to play devil's advocate when you have a new idea, simply because you all think the same. Similarly, this also comes up when we're speaking about diversity. Diversity of any kind. I see too many teams that just look the same. And you know, let's not even take it too far. I'm not even gonna go into people of color, gender. Even if you've ended up having a team of the generic white males, almost always it seems like they end up hiring people of a certain age range. So some companies hire people in their 30s, some companies hire people in their 20s. So, you know, I'm not even going into deep diversity efforts, and I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm just using this as an example. It's amazing to me that we end up doing this because of whatever. It might be easier. We might have some bias that we're not aware of. But what ends up happening is, again, that we have a team that's too homogenous. And a bit differently, you might not have this. You might have a team that's genuinely diverse and has a bunch of different opinions and people from different backgrounds. And you have someone who has a lot of experience in that kind of field and that, and someone who used to, I don't know, be in a circus and then moved into software engineering. I don't care. But for whatever reason, you are hurting the cultivation of a candid and open culture. And so those people, even though they might hold different opinions, don't voice them. They do not speak up when they need to. And so whatever the reason here is, you end up with the same situation. And that is, you do not get anyone to push you. You are surrounded, you and your management team, you are surrounded by people who do not push you and chafe you in that right way that makes you think harder, that might help you come up with novelty. And my issue with this is, of course, even though it might feel nice for you, you know, no one is actively telling you that you're wrong every day, you end up in the long term being very, very hurt. Because, first of all, as I just said, you have less novelty inherently. Because no matter how smart you are, I assure you that all of those bright people that you pay a lot of money to also have a bunch of nice ideas, or could have if you were to utilize them better. So, in fact, you're getting less novelty per person. You're getting less novelty on the dollar. And that is just a waste. Second, you might end up suffering from a situation that is essentially, you know, the emperor's got no clothes and no one tells them. So we're not just talking about missed novelty. We are talking about the very simple act of having an idea, having a plan that's just not that good. And no one will tell you because they don't know or because they are afraid to speak up. And that applies in all different levels of decisions. We can be speaking about developer stuff like the tech stack that you will choose. We can be talking about how you are forming the processes in your organization. And it might be stuff like product decisions. All of those might end up being wrong or suboptimal because you are not enabling and unlocking all of the talent you've got in your company. And eventually, this ends up with creating an unhealthy culture, a culture that will not allow bright people to prosper, or only bright people of a certain type. And again, in the long term, you will not be able to create a world-class team. You should be aiming to have a team that's the best in the world for solving your specific problem. That's what we're playing for. I'm just reading Playing to Win, and they actually say, you don't play to play, because then you're gonna lose. You have to play to win. And the same is here. If you just give up on trying to create this kind of culture, you're gonna end up with an average team at best. And that's not why you're waking up and getting out of bed every day for, is it? So to crack this open and to start changing things, I'm not going to lie to you. This usually requires a deep change, a conscious effort, proactively changing the way you and your leadership team thinks. But still, the first steps are changing the way you are hiring. Right now, review whatever you're doing and see what biases are cropping up. See if you are just hooked on this specific pocket you've gotten to and you're just sucking everyone out of it and not thinking about creating a more heterogeneous team. And other than changing how you are hiring, you should adapt a mindset that says that everyone should be speaking up. And I come from Israel. Here, most of the teams, when they are small, have amazing candor. I mean, that's what chutzpah is all about. People will tell you how you should be doing your role. I mean, every single person, sometimes even unasked, will tell you that you should be doing stuff differently. That's how we roll. And yet, even here, as teams grow, it becomes harder, especially for people who have joined in the second layer, in the third layer. It becomes harder for them to speak up unless they see that the culture is inviting this, that this is what actually is expected. Because you might say, my door is open, but it will be interpreted as lip service, because you might seem truculent and eager and quick to argue whenever someone voices an opinion that's against yours, or simply unattentive. And if you shoot the messenger, if people feel like there's no reason for me to speak up, If you don't value different opinions, if you don't take that person who spoke up in the all hands and told you that idea of yours is, frankly, dumb, if you don't take that person and put them on a pedestal and say, first of all, thank you, even before addressing the matter itself, saying thank you for speaking up, making a mental note to talk to them personally later about it, talk to their managers about it, tell them you value that, and only then moving on to the actual concrete criticism. If you do not practice this kind of upwards radical candor, if you do not allow your people to voice concerns, if you don't actually listen to them, they will learn. They will learn that there's no reason to stick their necks out. There's no reason to be talking and risk upsetting someone if nothing's gonna change. So this is on you. And this is something that I often see coming up in coaching sessions, where you have to help people accept feedback, solicit feedback, and genuinely treat it in a way that is healthy and that improves the entire organization as a whole with time. Is this an easy change to do? No, but I assure you, it's a simple one, and it ties very nicely, I'm assuming, to all of your values. So do not allow this to continue more than it should. Make 2021 the year you burst your bubble. If you want to hear more about it, my email is in the show notes, and I'd love to talk to you and hear about your specific situation. Other than that, that's it for this week. If you haven't yet, again, I urge you to subscribe to the best online newsletter for tech executives. It will contain, among other things, all of the new information about my book as the launch will be approaching. So sign up, one email a week, no spam. And other than that, if you have any questions or comments, my email is in the show notes. Feel free to reach out to me, email, LinkedIn, Twitter, whatever. Thank you for joining me, and talk again soon.